Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez. And on this week's show, we will, of course, be looking ahead to Saturday's FA Cup second round tie with Stockport County at the Valley. Joining me to do just that, first up, Mr. Tom Walling. How are you doing, Welshie Walling? Enjoying the World Cup so far?
It's been all right. Yeah, enjoying it.
Unbeaten so far, aren't you?
Yeah, you'll take that, especially after that first half performance. I'll take that. So, yeah, obviously Iran tomorrow morning and then a big one next Tuesday.
Yeah, England. Who are you supporting in that game then?
I haven't decided, if I'm being brutally honest. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, it must be nice to be able to decide who you want to support at full time when you can see who's won.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to wait for the end of the game.
Wish I could do that with Charlton games. Also joining us, a man who wouldn't even dream of supporting Wales, Mr. Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, of a long list of teams I'd never support, Wales is pretty much up there. So I'm good, thanks.
But not Stockport County, because you've told me you've worn a Stockport County shirt in your life.
I have. I went in the early 90s to Wembley. Stockport were playing Birmingham in some kind of cup final, and I was working with another chef who was a big Stockport fan. He said, "Do you want to go?" I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll come with you." He said, "Go on, then, stick this on." Gave me a lovely purple Stockport shirt to wear, and we went, and Stockport lost. So hopefully I'll be an omen for them.
Yeah, never looked back since then with your undying support of Stockport County. So on this week's show then, as I said, we'll be looking ahead to that game with Stockport in a few moments' time. We've also got, a bit of breaking news that came out today. Jaden Stockley, banned for 3 games after an incident that wasn't picked up at the time by the officials up at Port Vale. But a retrospective 3-game ban has been applied now upon the footage of that being looked at. We're going to talk about, of course, the Stockport game. We're going to talk about the Brighton tickets are out. Have a quick look back at the Plymouth game in midweek. We've been knocked out of the Pepperoni Trophy, unfortunately. But we will hear from two players who got goals on their maiden senior goals, Dan Carney and Karoy Anderson. So we'll hear from those. We're going to hear from Emma Follis. She's back from injury, thankfully, for the women's team. Played a part in that win over Palace over the weekend. And then we're going to hear from Nick from the Scarf Bergara War Pod. That's the Stockport County podcast. He's going to tell us how excited the Hatters are for Saturday's game. So first up, I mean, the big news, it came out of absolutely nowhere now as well. So on Saturday, and I had to go back through my own commentary to see if I noticed it. And I'll just play you it now. I did notice this incident, but I didn't think too much of it at the time.
At Burton last week, there's a little incident off the ball there with Stockley running past one of the Vale defenders who goes down, but he's happy to get back to his feet. So we can go back up to Merseyside, Prenton Park.
So there you go. So I just about saw an incident on the far side of the pitch. The player involved got back up quite quickly, and it's not unlike, you know, it's not often you always see Jaden Stockley going into this stuff, if we're being honest. But this time he's been caught. So someone, somewhere, has picked up some video footage and sent it to the FA. Usually you'd expect that would be Port Vale who would have been involved with that. And you can see why, Tom, you look at it, it's a forearm smash into the defender's face. The ball's gone back to the keeper. The defender's turned to start walking back up the pitch. And Stockley's laid it in with his forearm smash. Now, we know Jaden likes to be a bit physical, likes to make his mark on strikers. You know, we saw that incident up at Sunderland last season where we defended him because he was accused of headbutting, and it wasn't really a headbutt, it was more of a shoulder barge. But is there any defending that?
No, not for me. This one's pretty cut and dry. The footage shows it clearly. I know the camera sort of pans away as it happens, but you can see it happen, and it doesn't look to me like he's just trying to block him off or anything. The defender just sort of jogging back across him. And yeah, I don't think he had to do it at all. It's hard to say it's premeditated or anything like that. But to me, just looks like a moment of madness, which, as you say, we know he's capable of. And we know he's frustrated at the moment. The season's not going the way he or we want. He's under pressure to perform, and it's not going well. that doesn't excuse it, but that lends itself to suggest it's perhaps not a surprise, because this is a man who's angry with how his season's going and maybe has just lashed out. But yeah, in some ways for him, I think this 3 games enforced absence is probably good for him to get a bit of a reset. And I know people on Twitter are kind of laughing and saying it's good for us as well. And usually I'd say, yes, it is, but we haven't really got anybody to put in. We can obviously talk about Kanu's performance on Tuesday. We've got Chucks who may well have to start. And obviously Kirky's been up there a little bit, but that's the worry here that, you know, this is a team game. He's supposed to be the captain and the leader of this team. And to do something as stupid as that has put the club in jeopardy. You know, for all people want to joke and say, well, no, he hasn't because he wouldn't score if he was playing. The truth is he's our captain and he's our starting forward, whether we like it or not at the moment. And he's now just got himself banned for 3 games. So, yeah, very disappointing from my side. And as I say, I think a result of the frustration of the way his season's going.
Yeah, as Tom says, Mark, it just sums up for Jaden. You know, he's not had a great season. I mean, there was an incident in the second half as well, actually, where he... right in front of me where I was commentating, he sort of jumped over a defender. And I could lean on arguing this was accidental, but his studs certainly landed on the head of a defender right in front of the Port Vale dugout as well. And again, they were up and asking for questions. We know he likes to, like I say, make his mark and let defenders know that he's there. But, you know, with his captain's head on, he has to be more sensible in that situation.
Yes, he does. And I agree with Tom. There isn't no defence of it. I mean, the issue I have with a situation is that you can watch any match and you can see things all the time. I've said to you where my seat is, which is right behind the home goal, first row, you see so much, especially at corners, and we're screaming at the linesman, are you not seeing this? And it's digs, it's kicks, it's pulls, it's tugs, it is elbows, and nothing gets picked up. And it is obviously Port Vale aren't happy and they've isolated the incident and played it in slow motion, obviously sent off to the FA, and the FA's gone, well, we have to do something about it. But I'd say you could probably find 2 or 3 incidents virtually in any game where you can do that. I mean, we could go back and find, you know, against opposition, wherever it's happened to us. And as I've said, I've seen us do it to other teams as well. And it's not good, it's not big, it's not clever, because if you do get caught... I remember Jan, many years ago, getting punched off a ball in a penalty area, and the referee turned around and caught it, and the ball wasn't anywhere near, and he sent their guy off and we got a penalty. And you think to yourself, that's the kind of thing which would have been missed many years ago. Unfortunately, because of the timing of it, if it happened before the Papa John's game, at least it would have taken up one game. It's difficult being without a striker, and it's about 50-50 with the lovers and haters at the moment online. People who absolutely hate him and think he's the worst thing in the world in a red shirt, and there's people saying, well, you know, look what he's done for us last year, it's not the right system. If you look at how he plays, we don't play to his strength really at all. It's a silly boy. We are going to miss him because we don't have that depth. If he starts Chucks, if he's going to do 60 minutes and it's 0-0 and you take him off, it puts a lot of pressure on the young lads coming on in the last 30 to do something. Or do you start with the young lads and then say, look, we've got Chucks there if we need to bring on, which is the way I'd go. And it's a case of it just shows the lack of depth we've got, unfortunately. Mm. And it's nothing we can do about that at the moment.
Yeah, and it makes things certainly difficult. So, yeah, so sort of touching on what you said there, Dean's emailed in saying, what I want to know is who grassed Stockley up on the elbow. No official saw it. Then they're given the ban after the game. So if they have to look back over the game, then surely this will be happening all the time. It just shows how bad the officials are that they have to make decisions that they have missed after the game. Yeah, so, I mean, it does happen probably more often than you realise. You know, there's been a few examples that have been put up on social media today of other teams' players being retrospectively banned. You know, you may remember Sam Finley, the Accrington player who stamped on Lyle Taylor's head, which is, I guess, something that a lot of Charlton fans wanted to do by the end of a couple of seasons ago. But he was caught up retrospectively. I think that, if I remember rightly, yeah, I can't remember if that game was on TV, actually, but certainly there was lots of footage of it available. So those things do get picked up. Who exactly? Yeah, I mean, my theory is that someone at Port Vale seen it. But if your player's being assaulted, then you're not shocked, really. I'm sure we've done the reverse at the same time. As Steve said, Jaden Stockley's ban has probably come at a good time. The player can take the time out to reflect and rediscover his form, with Garner able to explore alternatives under no pressure from his captain. It's a good opportunity for youngsters to make a name for himself. And then he looks ahead to the Stockport game, saying we have to play our strongest team if we were to get into round three and play a major Premier League team, with apologies to Brighton, of course, we've got in the League Cup. It could give the club a lift and some cash to spend in January. Promotion this season is a pipe dream, so the Cups are the only way that we can repay some of the fans' loyalty. He says, you'll win that Pod of the Year award next year. Yeah, maybe we need to start gathering footage of our rivals kicking people and punching people to have a chance at that. A couple more messages on the Stockley stuff as well. Rachel said it's not the most helpful time for him to bench himself, of course, with our lack of options elsewhere. Andy says, is it something worth discussing on today's pod? Is it okay to personally abuse a player because they're out of form, particularly one who's delivered so much for the club previously, both on and off the pitch? And when does the abuse, what does it achieve other than making the abuser feel good? Or the personal hatred for a guy who scored 20 goals for us last season. This said how much he loves being at the club. He's having a poor season with no help from the wingers who won't play to his strengths. It's such a shame. I mean, I've seen criticism, certainly, of Jaden Stockley. I haven't personally seen ever any major abuse. You know, I think most of the stuff I've seen borders on, you know, he's had a poor season and you're the captain and you're a big player for us, so you're not playing to your to your potential to an extent. Whether that includes because of the style of play we're playing, etc., is obviously up for debate. But yeah, fans have certainly been getting on his back, but I mean, I can kind of understand why. I don't know if he's on social media much, Jaden Stockley, so I can't imagine he reads a great deal of it. So yeah, what did you make of the abuse or criticism that Jaden's picked up so far this season, Tom?
I think criticism of Jaden in terms of his performance and certainly his output is warranted, in as much as any criticism of somebody just doing their job is warranted. You know, it's very easy to compare, and I know you hear it sometimes where you compare to, you know, what if someone came into your office and abused you, but I think it's different. Look, they're professional footballers, they have fans, and those fans are supporters of the club. So if somebody representing their club isn't representing them to the level that they perhaps expect, then that's the nature of the sport. You're going to come in for criticism. And as you said there is a line. I think criticism of his performances is absolutely fine. I think in this instance, potentially criticism of his character is potentially fine. If people are criticising, you know, his family or criticising the person he is or something like that, then that oversteps a boundary because that's got nothing to do with us. I think you could criticise work rate as well, but I don't think in this instance necessarily work rate is an issue, but I know for some people perhaps that's how it's perceived as well. So yeah, I don't think there's any problem with criticising in terms of performance at all, but that criticism has to be fair. And as I said, I think if you ask Jaden, and I think possibly there is a chance here that the reason that this has happened or part of the reason this has happened is to do with his frustration, I think he would be one of the first to admit that this season's not going the way he wants as well. So, yeah, there is a line to be drawn, of course, and nobody wants to be criticised. But, you know, any of us in our job expect to be criticised if we're not doing the job to our ability. So I don't see that it's any different than that in this instance.
Yeah, right. Well, Platy says, can't condone the actions of Jaden Stockley, but this does add a dimension a bit like VAR. How often do we see an off or on the ball incident which is missed by the ref? Will this be a thing of the future more? Thoughts? Well, it honestly does happen more than you'd think. There was one a few years ago that actually we got away with, thankfully, because we did have our own footage where, again, it was Lyle Taylor who won a penalty against Burton Albion at the Valley a couple of years ago. A game we won 2-1, a midweek game. And the FA or whoever looks at it, looked back at the footage after the game, looked at the penalty, and said he was going to get banned for yellow card simulation, which was sort of a rule that was in and around that time. But luckily, Charlton had a camera elsewhere to send further footage to prove it wasn't simulation. But you'll be surprised how often these things get looked at behind the scenes. And, you know, if you look at other teams, or if you look at the FA spokesman Twitter account, you see these bans getting handed out. So it does happen more often than you think. But yeah, I do worry about the levels of consistency you will get with it, because as Mark has said and as the emails elsewhere said as well, that it is sort of a case of, well, if someone spots it and sends it, then it gets dealt with. But if they don't, then they get away with it, and there will be a bit of consistency that goes amiss there. I mean, it's a good time to turn our attention then to, Mark, looking ahead to the Stockport game coming up in the FA Cup. Then it's a second round game for us. Excited for this one, actually, because, of course, a place in the third round is up for grabs against a Stockport side back in the Football League this season after a long time out, where they actually drifted into non-league and the National League South, which I was almost surprised to remember when we were going through the research for this game. I mean, from our point of view, the question that will be on everyone's lips was, what sort of team do we put out? And obviously now that question revolves around the strikers, because we ain't starting Chooks and EK. Like, no matter how much people think Stockley getting suspended now will mean, I just can't see it happening. So, I mean, what sort of team we put out in the FA Cup so far this season? We put out a pretty strong team and the League Cup. So I'd expect there isn't a great deal of room for manoeuvre unless we go very young like we did against Plymouth in the Papa John's. I expect it will be a team that's sort of stocked full of first-teamers on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it should be. I think it's a second-round game. We all know the big boys come in at the third round. And, OK, we've got Brighton coming here already, but it's still nice in the third round to think, oh, we could get another Prem draw. It's difficult because, like you say, we don't really have that many bodies knocking around. He could play Kanu, possibly, and leave Chucks there and put Payne up front. I know he's not going to win many headers, I mean, but he's dangerous and is quite good at his movements, very good. It's not the ideal situation to have. And then you're going to be looking to your midfield and your Raksakis and your CBTs to come in. Charlie Kirk, if he plays, and then start saying, right, we've got no one to aim for, so we'll have a crack ourselves. I don't think he can change it up too much. Obviously, he may stick one of the centre-halves in, maybe Chin in as well on the left, because I think you've got to keep Clare there. So I think it's going to be a majority, an 80% strong team with just a smattering of youngsters. And, of course, with a goalkeeping situation, you know, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd assume someone out of Ashley Maynard Brewer and Harness will start. Well, I guess Macca probably won't be a million miles away from coming back now if the concussion protocol has been met, as long as he's recovered well. Hopefully we'll find out more from Ben Garner in his press conference on Friday. I feel like this is a big game for us, Tom. Now I was making the argument sort of this time last week that our cup runs are pretty much the best thing about this season. And they have probably, you know, when we were going into that Port Vale game last weekend, you know, and we'd just drawn with Burton as well. I think the fact that we'd had a couple of cup runs was probably helping to overshadow a little bit the fact that we aren't winning many league games. You know, we after the Burton game, it was three league games without a win. But people were still on a bit of a high because we're through to, you know, Brighton and through into the second round and through into the next round of the Papa John's. So I just want to go for it, really, Saturday, see if we can get to the third round, see if we can keep some interest in this season ticking over into the new year.
Yeah, totally agree. I think the Papa John's was more of a distraction. And I know we had the debate, was it last week or the week before, about would I prefer us to get to the final of that or the League Cup or you know, go up. And look, I stand by the fact that I still think until promotion is not mathematically impossible, because that takes a long time, but I still think it's the sort of league where if we were to win our next four in the league, we'd suddenly be back in the hunt. It would be interesting to see what your spreadsheet looked like at that point. But I think ultimately, you know, that's hopeful compared to these cup runs. You know, you look at the game that we've got on Saturday, it's eminently winnable. And as you say, then you get through and you've got a chance of getting a big draw. And if we're not going to go up, which, as I say, is looking less and less likely by the week, then you want a day out, don't you? You want something to enjoy. And yeah, that's what you want. So the cup runs, I agree with you, have slightly masked it. I think that the Papa John's, for what it was worth and for what Tuesday night was worth, has given some people a magnificent opportunity. But with the size of squad we've got, was becoming a bit of a distraction, as I say. League Cup, we'll have to see what happens, because despite the fact it's not what we'd call a glamour tie, they're still a team that probably will come down here and expect to win. But this is one where we can expect to get through, and then we've got all that excitement of a draw to find out who we get in the next round. So, yeah, I think that you, as fans, you look for any kind of positive, don't you? And as you say, at the moment, the league isn't really giving us enough of that. So you look at the cups and you think, well, there's an opportunity. And, you know, this season hasn't been vintage so far. But we've had a couple of days, like the Ipswich game, which still, when I think about it, I can't believe it was a draw, given how happy we were with it. And maybe a third round tie against a Premier League team would be another one that we look back on and go, well, do you know what? Wasn't the best season in the world, but we had a few good days out. So, yeah, we have to get through Saturday first. And you know, we can't overlook that. And we've got to take that game seriously.
All right, excellent. Well, we'll preview the game with Stockport a little bit more as well later on in the show when we hear from Nick from the Scarf Bergara War podcast. Chat a little bit more about that fixture. But before we look at the defeat against Plymouth, the tickets for the Brighton game have come out now in the League Cup, Mark. I mean, again, nothing's ever simple. Is there sort of accidentally half leaked last night on the website and available, and there was confusion about which parts of the ground are open? But now that we know which parts of the ground are open, which are, well, for Charlton fans, it's Covered End Upper and Lower and the West Lower. Obviously, the Jimmy Seed stand will be for the Brighton fans. Now, the Alan Kirbishley stand is currently not available. I mean, I see Rick Everett suggesting that there is some perhaps early discussion that maybe Brighton fans might be offered tickets in there as well. But we don't really know if that's the case just as yet. I mean, the problem that people have with closing stands for a big cup game like this is it sort of sends the message that the club aren't necessarily that taking it that. You know, making it a big game. It should be a big game. You know, I mean, Peter Varney said Charlton will allow 30,000. Charlton will allow 3,000 away fans for the League Cup tie, but they're closing 50% of the ground for home fans, which will serve to reduce the attendance and dull the atmosphere in cup matches. The cost of stewarding is met by both teams, so it doesn't save much money as well. So, you know, someone who's been there and done that, Peter Varney, saying that it will probably stifle the crowd and it will dull the atmosphere and the attendance. I mean, are you frustrated? Would you have liked to seen, you know, I thought the Norwich game last season when we had North Upper, Lower, West Lower and East open, I thought that worked really well.
I don't know. Logically, it's a midweek just before Christmas. So I just think that Alan Kirbishley would look so empty. I understand the people's feeling behind it, saying, yeah, we're never going to fill it out midweek. Okay, the kids aren't at school, but it's another game where people have got to fork out for, as reasonable as it is. So opening up those stands, I think, is sensible, to be quite honest. I know it's probably not what people want to hear, but I think if you look at it in a logic way, you know, the Brighton fans are, you know, will they fill it out? They probably will. They probably won't need any overspill. How much are we going to have for there? I'd be surprised if it was more than 6,000-7,000, even for a Premiership game, a Premiership team. In a cup game, I wouldn't be surprised if it was less than sort of like 7,000. So opening up the Alan Kirbishley just seems a bit pointless for sake of it, of saying, oh, we've got all four sides open.
I mean, Tom, do you think it sends the right message then? That you're sort of like, well, if the club are taking the stance, oh, we're not going to sell it anyway. I mean, obviously the option is there to open it if we are selling enough tickets, but does it send the right message? Does it, I mean, you know, because I'll be honest, I've gone into the game with Brighton, and I don't think, oh, wow, Brighton are coming because they are in the Premier League. I think they were sixth when we drew them. I'm just thinking, oh, it could have been Liverpool, could have been Man United. So I'm not that excited about the fixture, but at the same time, I wasn't that excited about drawing Norwich last season. And actually, when we had a decent crowd on each side, you know, when people could buy their normal season ticket seats in the Alan Kirbishley, you know, and there were lots of fans there, it actually made it into quite an entertaining cup tie.
I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I think if they price it all at a fiver and sell out this part and then start to open it up, people say, well, you're selling it for a fiver, you're not taking it seriously. If they open the whole ground from the start and you only sell 5,000 and people are dotted around, as Mark said, then you look like we can't fill our stadium. It's a difficult one to get right. I suppose what you want from the club in terms of PR and in terms of their marketing of it is that they're taking it seriously. I don't think just keeping those parts of the ground open alone is enough to say that they're not. I think obviously the shambles with what parts of the ground were being opened and it being leaked and all of that is obviously not ideal. But look, if all of that sells out, it's all right fans coming on social media and saying that, but put your money where your mouth is. And if you've bought a ticket and enough people do and it is sold out, at that point they can open the ground up. So yeah, it is a difficult one, I guess. And I guess the reason people are making this statement is you look at a game and you see that the stadium is half full and you then immediately, as a fan, don't take the game that seriously. I bought my ticket today and I'm kind of thinking that atmosphere is going to be deadened. But at the same point, like I say, if you had the same amount of people spread over the whole ground, I don't know what sort of difference it really makes. So it's a really difficult one. I don't think I can kind of agree one way or the other. I just think, as exactly as you are, really, that it's a game that just isn't quite big enough to give people the hype. And I know I've said this a few times this season, but we have to think about the wider economic climate, the fact it's in the middle of winter, it's close to Christmas as well, it's going to be cold, it's, you know, there's all these factors which is, you know, probably just makes me sound absolutely miserable. But as I say, I am going and I have got a ticket, but these are factors that you have to bring into consideration as well. And ultimately, Brighton at home, unless it was the League Cup semi-final or quarter-final, probably isn't going to sell a lot of tickets, and that's just the way it is.
Right, well, one thing we won't be selling a lot of tickets for is the remaining games of the Papa John's Trophy, because we are out. We were beaten at Plymouth on Tuesday night. Let's have a listen back to the goals.
So I'm just trying to press Plymouth in here. It's with Kresk on there. Kresk on the right hand side. There's Carr. Good work from Carr. He's taking the ball off of Kresk. Trying to slide past the keeper in the first attempt. And does so at the second. Daniel Carr hunting Kresk down after the keeper played it short. Got to the ball. Took it inside. Got it shot away. Good save from Burton at the first attempt. But Carr following up. Buried the opening goal for the Addicts, and after 8 minutes, Cheltenham 1-0 up here. A great start. Mumba turning away from Campbell. It's further to the right. Jim can't block the ball coming forward. Cosgrove looked offside there, but he's got into the penalty area and he's finished there. That looked extremely tight call. And Earl is not happy with the decision. Has to look at it again. But Cosgrove got beyond Cheltenham's back four. There's a fine shot into the bottom right-hand corner. Have to see the instant that ball was played. It did look tight, really tight. A bit of the back risk. I saw Carney again looking interested, but Halls gets there first, sends it away long, but drift away. Obviously on the left-hand side for Charlton. He's taken throw from Chin back to Mitchell. He won't thank him for that. He's immediately under pressure and he's given the ball straight into the path of Ennis. Will finish. Charlton for being one out and looking, I wouldn't say comfortable, but looking good for the lead. Now 2-1 down. Stank there. Standing for Zach Mitchell. He clearly didn't see Ryan Ennis in the on the edge of the 6-yard box. He was pinned in, but he said he wouldn't thank Chin for the throw. I think it even less now. Ennis just took it past Harness. There's nothing I could do on the touchline. Strange game to assess that first half, I think. The Addicts will be a little disappointed to go in behind, I think, especially with the start that the Addicts made. And I'll just cut off now because there's an even worse start to the second half. Roberts has nipped in ahead of Henry. The ball out to the edge of the Charlton penalty area. Henry dispossessed by Roberts, and worst possible start to the second half for the Addicts. Sees Plymouth going 3-1 up. He's not seen way away to the right hand side. Anderson making the run ahead of him, and it's a good ball to find him as well. Kawhi Anderson's in. Can he touch it right to Carr? Instead, he's going on his own. Anderson, that's a great finish. Kawhi Anderson started the run deep in his own half. Asunwe spotted it. And a lovely ball forward to find him. And Asunwe with Anderson with Carr inside of him. Used him as a decoy. Finished it with his right foot. And Charlton are now 3-2. Great finish from Ryan. His debut as well, by the way. Great composure and finish from the young man. Charlton are 3-2 here.
Cheers. That was Terry Smith on Charlton TV commentating on that defeat at Plymouth. A rare one for me. I wasn't there. I was at a wedding on Tuesday. Massive congratulations to my friends Chris and Ree, who aren't Charlton fans and don't listen to this podcast. So what a waste of time that was. But they. I'm not entirely sure I would have gone anyway because it's a Papa John's game, you know. And I could just about stomach going to Colchester or a Leighton Orient Forum, where I've been to away games in that competition. But it's a long way to go for a game, you know, that has no real meaning to me. You know, I mean, I've had a look at the highlights. I'm not overly bothered that we're out, especially as we said with the the squad issues we're having at the moment. I feel it's a bit of a shame for some of the young lads who obviously were using that competition for minutes, and there were positives. We're going to hear in a few moments' time from Dan and Karoy, who both scored in that game. But bothered about it, Mark? I guess the main bother for me is probably the manner of the goals we conceded. And two of the three goals that we conceded came from us overplaying at the back, which is obviously something that we're concerned about sometimes this season. The second goal, Zach Mitchell just playing it right into the middle. The third one, I think we were trying to play it out from a goal kick, and I think it was Aaron Henry looking at the replay who lost the ball on the edge of our box. So a problem that it seems to permeate throughout the entire club, not just the first team.
Oh, if you did that in a park, your mates would be giving you pelters for hours. You wouldn't even be able to go to a pub with them afterwards. Look, I'd rather they learnt and made this mistake in a pointless Pizza Cup game than in a league game. So it's something for the coaches to go back and say, right, there are sometimes, I'd said this during the week, stick it in row's head. You know, the opposition cannot score if a ball is halfway up the stand. It's, and with a player with it. I understand they want to try and play football and play it the right way, but you don't have, and the suicidal pass into the middle was just like, oh, this guy must have thought, oh, it's Christmas, Hanukkah, birthday, all come at the same time. Again, youngsters, that's what it is. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, half of them were still up past their bedtimes out on that team. But we had a, you know, decent midfield. So it's an experience thing. I think you'd use it for what it is. If we hadn't got through, as soon as we drew Plymouth away, and Plymouth at home were a different kettle of fish, I thought to myself, you know, it'll be a trip down for some people and an experience. And so, like I say, am I bothered about it? Not an iota. No, we didn't get any major injuries to any of our, you know, squad players. And it did help Kanu get himself on the sheet. And the young lad who came on, I don't know much about him, Karoy, you know, it was a good finish. He's buried it nicely. And we do seem to have a production line. And I think a lot of people at the start of the season were surprised that Leeburn came in after the season Kanu had last year. But there's obviously, they look at Kanu being slightly rough around the edges with his all-round game, and Leeburn's got a touch more versatility to him. But, you know, I'm hoping for him, and he may get an opportunity in the next couple of games to come on to show what he can do, because he is a poacher. I think he's the kind of, like, he hasn't got Darren Bent's speed, but he's got that kind of Darren Bent instinct to pull on the shoulder. And he knows where the goal is. He knows the goal doesn't move. You know, good strikers will tell you that. I said, I don't need to look where the post of a goalkeeper is. I know the goal doesn't move, so I know if I hit it, it's going to go in. And, you know, he's finished it well. It came back to him because the goalkeeper made a save, but boom, he's put it back in. And that was the pleasing thing to see. Yeah, we lost. Am I bothered? No.
No, yeah, two very good finishes. I mean, it was an extremely young side that we sent down there. Again, I think there was 101 fans was announced as the away attendance. You know, exactly how that's made up is obviously up for discussion, but I can't imagine any of them who went down there would have been overly shocked by the team that we put out, Tom. And yeah, and it just goes to show where we are as a squad. We're too small. You know, we heard what Ben had to say about it the other day, didn't we?
Yeah. If you've gone down there thinking we're going to be putting out our first 11, then you're mad. Well, I think you're mad enough to go anyway, to be honest, but fair play to them. I admire that. Desire to want to go that distance on a Tuesday night for a game of that magnitude. But yeah, on the one hand, I think if that was a conscious choice to play those youth players because, do you know what, we just want to give them the opportunity, then great. And I think part of our decision making was that. But more the point is we're struggling for numbers at the moment, and we all know where the fault lies for that. And as I say, you know, it's not a competition I ever want to be in, but it does give youngsters opportunity. And I can think back several years, sadly, because of how many times we've been in this competition in the last few years, where there have been youngsters who may not even have then gone on to make the first team, but they have had opportunities where they've grabbed their first goal, or it is their first professional debut. And, you know, they are going to remember that. And for the likes of Kanu, who, as I think Mark just said, you wondered about breaking into the first team, hasn't quite happened. For someone like Anderson to come on and score that goal, you could see in the interview after the game how delighted they were. And That's the positive. That's the positive side. But the negative side is we're forced to play these players yet again because our squad's too small. So, yeah, as I said a little bit earlier, I'm glad we're out of it. I'm also glad that those players have had an opportunity. But ultimately, if we want to progress as a football inside more generally, we have to have a bigger squad. And, you know, that's not rocket science and it's not something, you know, it's not a revelation, but it's something that has to be addressed in January.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it was a good night, as you said, for Dan Carnu and Karoy Anderson. Both of them good finishes, actually. Dan did really well to press the Plymouth defence and win the ball high up the pitch, and then a second attempt beat the goalkeeper. Karoy Anderson's finish, I thought, was really, really well placed beyond the goalkeeper. Took it into his stride, cut inside, a lovely little finish. It was from Karoy. So goals for both of those. First, senior Charlton goals. They both spoke to George Jones after the game, starting off with Dan Carnu on how happy he was to break his addict's dark.
So pleased that I've been working so hard throughout the entirety of the season to try and get that first goal. So now I've got the first goal, I know I can continue to push from here. I've been unlucky in recent weeks to not get a goal. I've been getting in the right areas, and I think that was the most important thing. As long as I'm in the right areas to do my damage, then I believe in myself and the team around me believe in me as well, that I'll finish. And today I'm happy I was able to deliver for the team.
Talk us through the goal, because it was sort of a chance that you made out of nothing, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, the defender received the ball and noticed that he was a bit hesitant when he received it. So I decided to apply pressure on him, and he tried to turn back, and I nicked it off him. Drove towards the goal. Initial shot got saved, but I was very, very eager to get the rebound, and thankfully I put it in this time. And yeah, I'm just really, really, really happy with the goal I scored today, and hopefully it's the first of many for the club.
And Karoy, you did a bit of a double today, your debut and then a few minutes later your first goal. How would you summarise tonight?
It's unbelievable. I couldn't really believe it. Like, I was focused on just trying to contribute to the game. If I got on, I was warming up for a bit, and then luckily I got on. Then when I came on, like, I can't put into words like how I'm feeling right now. But unfortunately we couldn't get a win with it, but personally it's been a good day.
When you stood on the sidelines, what were the coaches saying to you just before you came on?
There wasn't that many instructions, just enjoy it, just be myself and play how I normally play. A few tactical things, but I just enjoy the moment.
Dan, unfortunately our Papa John's Trophy journey has come to an end for this season. You've played pretty much in every game, I think. How much have you learned playing in these matches?
It's a great experience to play against professionals and play against players that play in the top leagues. And yeah, I've learned so much about myself and about how I can impose my style on the game and how I can be effective. I've learned a lot about that this season that I probably wouldn't have learned last season, and I'll try and continue to learn. That's what I always want to do. I want to continue to learn and get better and progress as a player.
Do you feel like as those matches have gone on, so we obviously started with Gillingham, and from then up until now, do you feel like you've got stronger and stronger?
Yeah, definitely. And I think gained a lot more confidence to do what I want to do and to do what I love doing, which is putting the ball in the back of the net. And I think I've got closer and closer as the weeks have gone on and the games have gone on. I'm glad I was finally able to put it in today. I know it's very frustrating to lose the game and obviously be out of the competition, but as Karoy said, plenty of positives to take from the game, especially for us as younger players.
And Karoy, you've obviously now had a taste of it. Does that leave you wanting more?
Yeah, of course. Just being around it, even in training sometimes, and then the times that I was on the bench but didn't come on, like, it was just a good environment to be around. And, like, as a kid, like, I was at the club I've been at the club for 10 years. Like, it's something I've always wanted to do, to play for the first team. So being in, like, this environment, getting the opportunity, just makes me want more.
And when you see people who've been in your position previously, who have gone through and gone on to make their debuts, people like Dan, how much inspiration does that give you to become that person yourself?
I think the whole philosophy of the club and the whole feeling around the club is that we'll definitely get a chance. And seeing players that I've played with, like Dan, Aaron, played with Albie, like, seeing that type of stuff and seeing these players progress just instills hope in me and know, like, gives me a chance. Like, makes me feel like I can have a chance.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's done.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before we sort of turn our attention back to Saturday's home game with Stockport in the FA Cup, Richard Church has sent an email. Hi guys, just want to react to the Ben Garner interview after the Port Vale debacle. Ben was keen to point out that we don't have the quality to play the way he wants to play. He is correct, we don't. I would therefore argue that we need to play the way that's best suited to the players that we have. He accused Port Vale of anti-football. This is both insulting and naive. If the way you play results in a win, then that by definition is effective. For me, professional sport is about winning. If my team wins, then I go home happy. I couldn't care less how we play. I'm not sure that no one in Port Vale was reflecting after the game about the poor entertainment on show. I think they're all in the pub afterwards enjoying the winning feeling and looking forward to their next game. Pragmatism is underrated but very necessary, and Ben Garner would be wise to learn that quickly. Thanks for being there. That's from Richard. Yeah, because obviously you weren't on over the weekends, Mark. I'm just curious as to what you made of Ben Garner's comments after the game. Obviously, there was a lot of talk about Port Vale and their anti-football. There was a lot of talk about, you know, what, you know, basically the squad not being there, and what he expected to be the case when he joined the squad, and the budget not quite being there either. So there's plenty he had to say about not just Port Vale but about ourselves and our ownership as well. So there were quite eye-opening comments, to the extent that some people were saying, blimey, I wonder if Thomas is going to pull the trigger this week for insubordination. But obviously that wasn't the case. But yeah, what did you make of it?
It's not the case at the moment. I did say very early on in the season, I think it was probably week one or week two, I don't expect Garner to be here by Christmas. And I know we've got 4 weeks to go and I don't wish him out of the job. But I can't see it. I think we'll take it. If we get a couple more defeats, I think it'll be an ideal time for TS to pull the trigger and say, you know, whatever BS he comes up with. I feel for Garner, I really do. It's. I think he'd slowly start to, you know, get on the fans a bit behind him, because I think they could see what his conditions he's working under, the handcuffs. So for him to come out and say, look, you know, I was promised this, and I don't have this and this, so this is why we are where we are. One, it's wonderful honesty, which is rare in football nowadays. And two, you can understand it's someone who's probably at the end of his tether by saying, you know, I can't go back to the same well and keep dipping up. And it's all very well TS saying about, oh, you know, wonderful youth system we've got, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to get you beaten week in, week out in this division. You need to have a bit more there. And I don't think, when it comes to January and a window open, I don't think we're going to prize his purse open and get anybody. I really don't. So do I think Garner's going to be here in 4 weeks' time? I don't. You know, I don't want to be wise after the event. So I'm saying it now. I don't think he's going to last till Christmas. And I think that'll be a sad indication of where we are. We're having a merry-go-round of managers again. So, and I can't see us being an attractive proposition for any out-of-work manager who we'd like, not the people who are always same people names who are mentioned. I mean, unless Scott Parker wants to drop down a few divisions, or Bowyer's still knocking around unemployed.
I think Terry would explode if we got Scott Parker in as well. So let's not think about that. Right. Over the weekend, now the women's team went over to Selhurst Park and came back with all 3 points. Charlton beating Palace by 2-1. Emily Simpkins, Oaken opened the scoring from the spot. Melissa Johnson added a second before half time after a superb run from Angela Addison, who I have to say is looking like an absolute bowler so far this season. This weekend they're playing Bristol City 2 p.m. at the Oakwood, a home game in the Conti Cup. Now, Emma Follis, she got injured actually in that game at the Valley, you may remember, against Birmingham at the start of the season. She finally come back into the action, came off the bench during that win at Selhurst Park, and she told the club how pleased she is to be back in action.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, injuries aren't ideal. 8 weeks out, it's been sort of mentally more tough. So to get back out there again on a nice big pitch like that and to get the win, it was great. Obviously, the circumstances in the game kind of were under the cosh a little bit, so we were having to defend quite hard. But yeah, I'm just happy to be back and happy to be back in training and helping the girls to get points.
No, so you talk about being happy to be back. For you personally, what do you put your personal ambitions and goals this season?
I think obviously to stay fit. From now on, it's important that I do the rest of the season fully, get back fit and be able to then fully contribute to the team. Goals, assists, just like creating situations where we can be good on the ball and try and keep a bit of composure in the team. So yeah, just use my experience and try and push us up as far as we can at the table.
Obviously, turning to Conti Cup action now this weekend. Bristol City, a team that you, history says you like to score against quite a few times. You get to see a bit of flying
fog. Well, yeah. So that's probably one of the only headers I've ever scored, and I don't think anyone's letting me forget it, which is quite nice. But yeah, Bristol, very good team. One of the favourites this year, I think, with the league. Obviously, they played well when they came to us last time. So we want to obviously get one back over them. We want to take the competition seriously. And yeah, try and improve on our performance against Crystal Palace and go for the win.
There we go. Great to see Emma back at it then. As I said, the girls are at home on Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff against Bristol City in the Conti Cup. If you fancy going down now, of course, the Addicts men's team playing Stockport County in the FA Cup this season. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about Dave Chandler's side. As I said, promoted back into the Football League after a long, long spell out of it last season. I did actually see them play away at Bromley, one of the few National League games I actually went to last season. They looked a very good side at that level, so I wasn't surprised at all to see them coming up. Now, I spoke to Nick, who's part of the Scarf Bagara War pod, which is the Stockport County podcast. I asked him how excited he is for the cup tie coming up this weekend.
Yeah, very excited, actually. I was a bit... When the draw first came out, I always, when you get to round two, I kind of always want a home tie against the lowest possible opposition in the hope that we get to round three. But it's a new ground for a lot of people, you know, a Premier League ground. So I think as we're getting closer now, I'm kind of a bit more excited now. Yeah, yeah, it should be a decent game, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, what was the overall reaction from the county fans to draw Charlton? Because I guess, looking at it, I guess we'd probably be seen as a reasonably good big draw out of the teams that are left in it, but I don't know. We're not Man United. is there a level of excitement to come to the Valley?
Yeah, and it's certainly better than Ipswich away in terms of travel. So that's a start. But yeah, I think it's a new, especially the last 5 or 6 years, we've sort of picked up a lot of new younger fans who will never have been to a ground that's been in the Premier League like that recently. So yeah, I think they're probably 50-50 on it, to be honest. I think the fan base is a bit split. A lot of, with it being close to Christmas, a lot of people are like, well, it's a lot of expense and stuff. But at the same time, yeah, how many chances do you get to go to like a proper ground like that?
Mm. And does it feel like then quite a big FA Cup tie in terms of you're playing like a bigger side, or are the guys just sort of seeing it as a chance to get into round three and then actually hope to pick up a Premier League team?
Yeah, that's the hope. But I mean, our experience of getting into round three, we always seem to be in one of the last 6 teams in the draw with all the big hitters, and then we'll get like Gillingham away or something. So we never expect anything from a big draw like that. But it's certainly a chance to put ourselves up, because we're not doing too badly since coming back into the league. We've kind of picked up a bit in recent weeks, and yes, it's a good chance to test ourselves against a team who's basically where we want to be, you know, kind of pushing towards the championship. That's the aim for our owner. Said that when he took over a couple of years ago, he wants a championship in 7 years. So it's a good same. We played Bolton away last season, and then beat them in the replay on TV at Edgeley Park. And it's just can really kickstart a season, I think, going toe-to-toe with a much bigger club. I think it could be what we need.
Yeah, I remember watching that game against Bolton on the telly, actually, and it was an exciting game. So do Stockport have a sort of a reputation as being quite a good FA Cup team, one that takes it quite seriously?
Yeah, I've been going since 94, so we drew away at Everton in 95, and then 96-97 we got to the semi-final of the League Cup. But since then, obviously dropping into non-league, you have to go through like two or three qualifying rounds to get in the FA Cup. So first or second round has been as good as it's got. But the last 5 or 6 years, we've actually beaten quite a few teams in leagues above us. So there's kind of this little thing at the back of your head that thinks, oh, well, maybe if everything falls right, it might be okay.
Yeah, well, that's sending shivers down my spine already. I mean, are the fans coming down in numbers? I think there's train strikes again this weekend, isn't there? But so it might make it a bit more difficult. But have they sold a lot of tickets?
Yeah, it seems like it's got. I think there's still a few available. We've not completely sold out. I know there's a lot of people who are kind of waiting to the weekend to make their minds up. But it doesn't help that the club don't tend to put coaches on. So when there's a train strike, you're left having to like go to the pubs and find out what coaches they're putting on. I know the club are putting, I think, one coach on, which I mean, they could get 5 or 6 if they wanted to, but for some reason it's just the one.
That's a bit of a hassle then. So in terms of your cup run so far, so obviously, as you say, because you're back in the league now, you just come in round one like the rest of us. I mean, you absolutely thumped Swindon, who I know have been a decent League Two side last season. I don't know how good they've been this year, of course. But yeah, it looked like you took it quite seriously looking at the team you put out there. There's names I recognise. Sarcevic, of course, the guy that you got from Bolton. So did he go reasonably strong in that game?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think we made 7 changes, but with the depth we've got, there's still, like you said, a lot of recognisable players in there. There's players chomping at the bit to get football, and it seems in the cups this season we've rotated a lot. Got through to the second round of the League Cup, like through rotating and played Leicester and took them to penalties. And it's one of them where you see the lineup and you think, well, he's not taking this seriously. We're just playing like the rotation players, but it's worked all right for us. So I think we did that for Swindon, and Swindon made 2 changes, and we absolutely... Previous to that, they were the best team I've seen us play this season when we played them in the league. So I don't know what happened to them that day, but I'll take it, you know, round 2, that'll do.
Yeah, and so, I mean, looking ahead to Saturday's game, do you come into it with some good momentum then? You mentioned, obviously, you're back in the Football League. I actually saw you guys play at Bromley last season. Tuesday night game. I think you won 3-0, 3-1, something like that. And you stood out as probably one of the best National League teams I've seen in a while. But how's that translated into League Two this season?
I think a lot of us got a bit, myself included, we got a bit giddy because obviously beating Bolton in the Cup last season, towards the end of the season, every opposition manager was saying in their interviews, oh, that these lot are top end of League Two. And then we were the bookies' favourites in the summer. And it took us a long time to get, I think it was like September, October before we properly started going. So we've been on a good run recently. We've just lost at the weekend at home to Leighton Orient in what was a fairly close game. We only lost 2-1 in the end to a team that I think will win the league by a fair margin. So it's a decent time for us in that we've picked up a bit from. We seem to be starting to do the things that we did well last season, which was a problem back in August. So yeah, I'd say we're in all right form. It could be better, but yeah, we're picking up the wins now. So, and it's a free hit for us as well. If we lose, it's fine. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and I mean, losing to a team that has Darren Pratley in it over the weekend, of course, is no disgrace because he's an absolute legend. I saw he scored against you guys. I mean, what's been the story of Stockport over the last, I don't know, decade or so? Because I remember when you were on the way down. I remember playing you probably the last time you came to the Valley in League One. And we only beat you 2-0, but you were clear like one of the worst teams I've seen in a long time, and it went all the way down to, was it National League North? Did it even go any lower than that? I mean, it was a remarkable fall, and the climb seems almost equally remarkable. Has there been ownership changes? Has there been big changes in direction behind the scenes?
Yeah, so we had several ownership changes. It's pretty much the last 20 years. It's around 2002, we were in the Championship beating Man City, and then just fell, had a bit of a revival and then went into administration. And then I think we had 2 successive relegations from League One down to the Conference. had 2 seasons in the conference and then dropped down into Division 6 for 6 years. Got back up to the National League, and then as we were pushing towards the playoffs, we got taken over by a local businessman, basically self-made. I don't want to say billionaire, but I don't think he's far off. And it's not just been a matter of chucking money at the team, though. He's the whole area, the whole of Stockport, he's investing in. We've got Man City and United's old ground at Carrington, the training ground. We've got that now. He's done the ground up. There's expansion plans, so it's looking bright all around. Which after the past 10 years that we've had, it's kind of been much needed. But we're getting to the stage now where the whole town's starting to come out and support the team, and we're selling out most weeks. Which when we're playing, I mean, we played lower teams than Bromley, and Bromley are a decent National League side, who you mentioned before. But I mean, we had to play teams like Vauxhall Motors, North Ferriby, FC United, just teams that shouldn't even be on our rate, teams that we wouldn't even send our reserves to play in a friendly. And then all of a sudden, they were doing better than us in the league. So we just, yeah, it's just good to be back. I think a lot of us, we're still coming to terms with being back, to be honest. I know I am.
Yeah, and like I say, that Bromley game I went to last season, I think you bought like 400 or 500 down on a Tuesday night, which was remarkable. Yeah. It shows that the town's getting behind them. So what about the manager, Dave Challoner? So he came in during last season, didn't he? A remarkable run. Like I say, but by the end of that season, you were clearly going toe-to-toe was it with Wrexham at the end of it, but you were clearly the best team in the National League. So he must be a pretty popular man around there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'll admit, when he used to play for us about 20 years ago, didn't have the best time as a player. That was kind of when the downfall started on the pitch. And then every time we came up against one of his teams, he managed Colwyn Bay against us, Fylde and Hartlepool. He just always had the better of us. And for some reason, I just got it into my head that he hated us. I just assumed that he hated us. But yeah, from day one when he came in, first game we drew 2-2 away at Bolton. And he just totally didn't even bring any signings in. He just got us pressing, playing with a high line. And yeah, the run we went on last season, I think it was something like one defeat in 22 games at one point last season. We had a bit of a kind of stuttered a bit towards the end. But yeah, he's a legend for what he's done already, just getting us back into the Football League after 11, 12 years. So it's really exciting to see what he's going to do next.
And do you think he's likely to go stronger Saturday then? So like I say, you did make a couple of changes then for the Swindon game, although obviously that paid off anyway. But with it being a chance to get into the third round and a game against a team who on paper should be better, but obviously we're not necessarily in the greatest run of form ourselves. So do you think he'll go quite strong just to try and clinch that third round place?
I'd hope so, yeah, because I think I've got a little feeling we could sneak a draw and bring you back to Edgeley Park. So I think there'll be maybe 3 or 4 changes, but we seem to be a lot of the injuries we've had earlier in the season are clearing up now. So he might use it as a chance to get a couple of the players who've been out, you know, back up to match fitness. It's always very interesting waiting for 2 o'clock on a match day to see what the team's going to be, because it's very difficult to predict these days.
Yeah, and so I mean, I'd love to get a replay because I've not been to Edgeley Park. I've been past it on the train a million times, but it's still one I've got to tick off. But so in terms of, assuming he does go reasonably strong, I guess we'll be looking out for your Paddy Maddens. They're probably the headline players that we'll be looking out for. Is there anyone else that we should be aware of?
Yep, you nailed it with Paddy Madden. Kyle Wotton, his strike partner, his target man, doesn't tend to score a lot of goals, but he's a real handful. The defensive midfield for me, Ryan Crosdale, it's no coincidence that earlier in the season we were struggling, and it's because he was out of the team. As soon as he's been back in, he just shields the back three, does a great job of it, plays the ball to someone who's a better passer than him. And it's great. But we've got pace down the wings as well at wing back. And we've got I'd imagine we'll have a fair few players on the bench that could come on and change things, which is something we've not had for a long time. We've got a little bit of pace on the bench and a couple of players that can spray the ball about. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm sure there's a fair few players you'll recognise, which is a nice contrast to what we've had over the last few years.
There we go. Massive thanks to Nick for joining us on the show this week. Plenty of interesting information about Stockport County there. And I think both sides will see this as a reasonable opportunity to try and get into the third round. And hopefully, as I said, hopefully we'll go strong. Because that's the one thing I'm sort of clinging on to now, is the fact we might get into the third round and have something of interest for the rest of the season. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to those of you who've joined us and got involved. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday then to look back at whatever happens against Stockport. And yeah, fingers crossed we'll get through, and then maybe we'll try and do another Twitter space for the third round draw if that happens. But let's try and beat Stockport before we get too far ahead of ourselves. Right, thank you, Tom and Mark, for joining me on this week's big match preview.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, mate.
Absolute pleasure as always. My name's Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.